Acumen means the skill of making good decisions and correct judgments. It usually comes with years of experience and is limited to one's own field. But what if we could improve our acumen in key areas that usually take time, such as business and leadership, by learning from others? That's where this talk show comes in. Listen, learn from, and be inspired by C-suite executives, founders, and other leaders who have been where you are now before. I'm Dror Wayne, your host in Tel Aviv, and this is Acumen. Welcome back to Acumen. Today, I want to start telling you the stories of my businesses and different lessons I've learned from them. So for those who don't know, my name is Dror, and before I moved to Israel 3.5 years ago, I lived in London. I set up my first business called Magniv in 2016. I then set up another business, TKMC, in 2020. I sold that a couple of months later and moved to Israel. Magniv I still have today. A few months ago, I started working on another business called Maayan. And after about 4 months of work, we decided to pull the plug. And that itself is a fascinating and exciting story with many lessons about how you go through the process of validating a business, invalidating a business, and deciding this is the time to pull the plug despite the money you've invested. But I want to go back and start off with Magniv, the business I set up in 2016 with three friends. The idea behind Magniv is something that had been done and is done still many times in Israel. It's taking pictures at weddings and events and printing them on magnets. If you've been to a wedding in Israel, you've definitely seen it. Elsewhere in the world, it's not very common. Now, I had previously done some freelancing in events, managing, emceeing, performing, and an Israeli friend living in the UK came to me and said, Dror, you've worked in events. I want to talk to you about this idea because it's so successful in Israel, but I don't think anyone's doing it here. Now, I'd seen it at Israeli weddings, and I said to him, give me a week. I'll find someone who's done it. And I went and I looked and I did some research, and a week later, I came back with five different companies that had tried or were offering some variation of the magnet printing at weddings in the UK. We did some more research into those companies. Why were they successful or not successful? What were they doing? And why hadn't it taken London by storm or the UK by storm in the same way that it took Israel by storm? And we realized that the business was still viable and there was still opportunity. So we went in and we decided to open the business. My Israeli friend who came up with the idea, another guy we knew from university who had also worked in events, and the final partner was my flatmate at the time because it's a photo business and we needed someone with photo skills and a fancy camera. And my flatmate had one. Over the years, things changed. The friend who had events experience left the business. My flatmate and I no longer live together, but still work on the business together. I run the business as the director and the other two back me up more from the sidelines. So how did we decide to get started? Well, it started off by working out how much we each needed to put in to create a prototype and go out and see what we're talking about. And yes, you need to put in a bit of money to start off any business. And we realized that we could do it, buying materials, buying equipment. We could do it for a certain amount of money. I think at the time it was around £400. And that was the only money. Yeah, it must have been £400 because it was £100 each. That was the only money which we needed to invest in the business. Since then, we've taken that money back out and everything the business has done has been reinvested. And that's a really important first lesson I want to share with you because these days, many, many people instinctively go for major loans or investments to grow their businesses. And for many businesses, you need that. Yes, if you're developing an app, you need an R&D team. In many cases, you need to pay them for a year to develop the algorithms and the software and who knows what. And that costs money. So you're going to need to raise some funds. In many cases, you're looking at a brick and mortar business where there's rent costs and upkeep costs and staff costs. And over time, you need to get yourself the investment to be able to run for at least a year backed up. But before you go running into a business like that, have a look and actually see, honestly, it's a little bit more difficult, but could I bootstrap this business? What is the money I need to put in to test the prototype, deliver it to some customers, learn some lessons, see if this is a viable business which customers start purchasing, and only then, if I need to, take some investment to grow it more rapidly. And I think it's challenging to do it on a bootstrap, but if you can do it as bootstrapped, you can do it with investment. which means you're a much more effective and valuable business. I'd also look at using, especially these days, all these AI tools which can save you time and save you money. I've previously had on the show here Itai Azogi, who leads a team developing software overseas for companies around the world, saving on major costs. I also had Jonathan Harrell, whose company is developing a platform for developers to use their platform to develop things quicker and at lower costs. So there are so many tools now, which even if you do need a piece of software, even if it does require R&D, you can cut those costs right down and maybe you don't need to go for investment. And then if you've got this idea in your head of, I need to generate revenue to reinvest and make profits, which is the traditional basic way of running business in my mind, then even if you do get that investment for your first bit of runway, after that, you might not need to go for Series A, B, C, D. Because I look around these days and I think there are so many companies who are selling a product, they are turning revenue, but they are not turning a profit. And again, you read in TechCrunch and you read in the news, they've raised another series, they've raised another tens of millions of dollars. And I can't help thinking to myself, why? What real value are they bringing to your shareholders? Or is it just getting bigger and bigger until a bubble is going to pop, as it does in many cases? So starting off lean, validating a prototype, and then maybe getting some investment so you can turn it into a business. But having the idea and the value of running yourself in an efficient bootstrapped way where you generate revenue and reinvest it, that can carry you a lot farther and make a much more exciting business in my mind. So that's what we did. No extra loans. Put £100 each and we started growing. And in our first year, we only had a handful of events and we took everything. We took small, we took big. We looked at other things we could do, which were related to magnets. We were doing events. Okay, let's do invitations. Let's do save the dates. Let's do all these different types of things. And that's another thing which I think is really important. At the beginning, although everyone tells you Pareto principle and you need to find out your 80-20, what is the one thing that's going to bring most of your income, the 20%, which generates 80%, at the beginning, you need to try different things. You need to be willing because you might not have realized the exact version of your product, or you might not have realized the exact take on your service, which will help you blow up. So I would say spend some time trying different things. If a customer comes to you at the beginning and says, can you deliver X? Be honest, tell them I haven't done that before, but I'd be delighted to. Charge properly. If you screw it up, compensate them as necessary, but try different things. And then you can look back and you can say in hindsight, I now understand things about this service or this version of the product, which I didn't understand before, for positive or for negative. You might have found that actually it's a very cost-effective service to deliver and is very popular with customers who are willing to come to you and offer you and pay you a lot of money. You might have found that, yes, lots of customers ask for it, but actually to deliver it at the right quality takes so much time and so much effort that it's just not worth it. You can also apply this idea to different ways of pricing. We went through so many different products and so many different ways of pricing our services at Magniv. In the beginning, we were charging per magnet, and then we were charging per time. And now we have this package, which over years we developed, and it's based on the number of people, which decides the amount of time, which decides the price, and it's unlimited, all included in those packages. And if someone comes to me saying, can you do just 200 this? Can you do just 100 that? The answer is no. We now only do 3 hours minimum of service. Why? Because we learned that under 3 hours, it's not really worth it for us financially. It's also too difficult for us to deliver, and we were disappointing guests at the events. A lot of people come to me and ask for different things. They want to give me money for shorter events. We tried it. We learn from it. Trying and learning from different things is very important, whether it's different services or different pricing or different decisions you take. What are the staff you use? In-house, external, try them both. Try subcontracting, try employing. Which one suits you better? So the second lesson I would say is you need to try different things, especially at the early stages. But once you've niched down, stay focused. Now, does that mean we don't have our eyes open for different variations and additions to the business? Absolutely not. In fact, all the time I'm seeing different services being offered. Particularly, I have this advantage of the business was done in a different market. The business exists in Israel for years already. So people are years ahead in their R&D and in their expansions. And we're the market leaders in the UK, but we can copy from overseas. So here in Israel, you now get services where they take all the photos, they send a WhatsApp message to all the guests, guests take a selfie, send it on WhatsApp, and it uses facial recognition to send you all your photos from an event. We looked at bringing that into our business in the UK. We haven't yet done it, but we might do soon. Here in Israel also, you get people who are printing wooden blocks, not just magnives, like Insta blocks. They print the blocks with the photos on them, and it looks great. We were looking at bringing that into the UK. And many, many other versions of the service which we've seen in the local market and overseas, we always have our eyes open. Does that mean we need to jump on it and execute it? Not necessarily. We do some research. How much does it cost? What are the extra challenges involved? Is there extra storage? Is it going to fit in our current vehicles? We looked at these 360-degree selfie video things. You stand on a platform and the arm whips around you looking like this with a camera. And it gives you a 360-degree video of you and your friends dancing, and it can go slow motion and all sorts of things. We looked at investing in those. And we had to think about who's going to carry them and store them, because our current team drives in their own vehicles and it works in one way, but these are much bigger. Are we going to need a bigger storage space? Lots of different factors. So lots of research on who else is offering it, why they're succeeding, not succeeding. Take it calm, take it slow, but be open to other ideas. To be honest, in Magniv, we've stuck with our core product and our core service, and it's worked. We niche down and the business ticks over. Evidenced by the fact that I'm here in a different country and the team deliver, they deliver at a high quality, they know what they're delivering every time. So that's the third lesson. Be willing to try new things, but also know not to jump on them too quickly. Next is when you get to the stage where you're building automation. I think it's very important that business leaders either have a good use of technology, you're familiar with Excel and Word, etc., so you can do all these things basically, or you're very, very good at doing them on paper, although I'm really a fan of doing things technologically these days. It's much safer, you can back things up, and you can keep looking at your updates and your changes. So if you're looking at opening a business and you're not familiar with at least the basics of Excel, and basics, I'm talking basic formulas, conditional formatting, tables. I'm not talking about VLOOKUP and pivot tables. That's advanced stuff. If you're not familiar with the basics of Excel, get familiar with it. But I think you should start off doing everything quite manually. And then once you've understood a little bit more about your processes, go looking for solutions for different apps which you can subscribe to, which help you do these things. And if you can't find one, develop it yourself. We use some fantastic software at Magniv, and it's helped us be a very efficient business, which I don't need to do the physical work that I used to do. When we started the business, I was sending out to my team members individual briefings, which I'd write an email for each one. What's the address? What's the customer phone number? What are the access notes? Are we white labeled? Which uniform do they need to be wearing? All these details I had to do manually. I had to collect them from the customer manually, etc. And eventually we found a platform which does everything automated. It's a booking system, and the booking system is connected to managing the staff, and it serves us fantastically. But I think the good thing is we came into this platform at the right time. We came into this platform when I started managing the business remotely, when we had a team, and we had about 2 years experience already of what are the jobs involved and what am I going to use, what are my pains which I'm going to be solving with this platform. So start off lean, start off doing things manually, make yourself templates which you copy and paste, and then look at moving to applications. Don't start investing in all these different apps and setting up the most perfect operating system, which is really smooth and which is costing you lots of money when you're not generating any revenue. Gotta have some revenue coming into place before you develop all the systems. That's what bootstrapping and prototyping is all about. Get those first customers in, spend the hours doing things manually, and once that money is coming in, you can invest it in a process which is going to make things quicker so that you can refocus your time once again on generating revenue, the sales, the marketing, the customer services. So that's the third thing, know when to bring in your technology. The next lesson I want to talk about is staff. As I said, it's a very physical business. I have photographers and technicians going to events. And I've previously spoken on the show about how I empower them to make decisions because I have this big challenge of myself as the business director not being on the ground. And there are a few important things here. The first is my staff know that they have my full faith to make decisions as long as they're making decisions in the best interests of the company. So they want to stay longer at an event because we haven't delivered enough, I'll pay them extra. They stay longer at an event and bill me extra for no reason, that's a different story, but they don't do that. I trust them because they trust me. I know that if they need to stay extra and they tell me, Draw, we worked an extra hour and I need to pay four people an extra hour, obviously I'll do it. No questions asked. Same thing if I have a piece of equipment that broke or is missing, a camera ran out of batteries and the cable snapped and whatever it is and the spare cable got wet and someone needs to run across the road to the electronics store and buy another cable. And it's an expensive store, we could get it cheaper on Amazon. But right now, they are at an event, the customers are waiting for us to deliver, and they go out and they make a CEO-level decision. Because obviously, that's what I would do in the same way. They're thinking, I'm thinking what's best for the business, I want them to be thinking that way as well. But more than that, for them to trust, for them to know that I trust them, and for them to trust me in that way, and to make those good decisions and put the business first, I need to put them first. I need to put my team above everything. I've had other people working at events mistreating my client, my staff. I've had clients mistreating my staff. I've had staff mistreating other staff. And my team know that I am there to back them up 100%. I had this the same, you know, managing a team of instructors here in Israel, working with Magen David Adom. They were in many situations and I made sure they always knew that they did not have to suffer. Anyone who was abusive to them, anyone who was rude to them, they should get me involved straight away as I am there to back them up and I am there to be their shield and protect them, because why should they suffer in that way? I once had an instructor call me in to a class she was teaching where another instructor had walked in and some of the kids had made racist comments. The story is the second instructor had walked into one instructor's class to borrow a piece of equipment. She walked in, took the equipment, walked out, and kids in the class were throwing out racist slurs. So the main instructor called me in, and I made it absolutely clear that none of that would be tolerated, or I would end everything. And I made it clear also to the head teacher of the school that if anything of this sort were to happen again whilst my instructors were teaching, every single one of my instructors would pack up and we would go home. Because I look after my team and that's how I know the team will look after me and will look after my business. And it comes down to smaller things as well. When my team go out to an event and they're working 6 hours, most events they get fed by the catering at the events, but some they don't. So I tell them, obviously, order yourselves a Deliveroo. I'm going to pay for it. When I send my teams to events in different cities and they have to drive 2 hours, work 4 hours, there are some people who make them drive back the same day. I don't. I get them a hotel. And if I can afford to, if the margins are there, I try to get them not the most basic hotel possible. And once I sent them to our hotel, which I thought was okay, but they said, Draw, it was actually really noisy and a bit dodgy. It was next to a motorway. I never sent them to it again, even though we were in the same area and that was the best priced option. And they know that if they're working a long day on their feet, that's an exhibition. They have the budget to spend on getting themselves coffees. They have the budget to spend on getting themselves food. Because I'm going to do the best for my staff. Because unless they see that, there's no reason for them to give the best to me. They can give the minimum to me. I'm paying them to do certain things, and they'll do those certain things. But because I go above and beyond for them, they go above and beyond for me. And leaders, you can try and think that it's the other way. You can try and think I'm going to only reward the people who do best for me first. But the power is in our hands. We as the leaders have to show everyone that we're going to do the best for them first. And then we can demand the best in return. And anyone who lets you down, anyone who disappoints, can be cut out straight away. You know, anyone who ruins that trust doesn't deserve a place in the business. Those are just a few lessons from my time building Magniv, my company which still runs in the UK. And if you're looking for if you're running an event and you're looking for the idea of photo magnets, check out magniv.co.uk or send me a message. My details are down below. Thank you for subscribing to Acumen, the talk show where we discuss leadership, business, and marketing. Catch the next episodes on YouTube, Spotify, or wherever else you get your podcasts.